Throughout history, remarkable men and women have left behind ideas capable of changing the course of a life. In each episode, we'll explore one section of a timeless book, uncovering the enduring wisdom, practical lessons, and powerful stories that continue to shape thoughtful lives today. These are more than book summaries. They are an invitation to join great dialogue that has connected generations of readers, leaders, and lifelong learners. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Dialogue on Dialogue. Welcome back to the Dialogue on Dialogue podcast. In this series, we're walking alongside good old Ben Franklin through his autobiography to discover what his remarkable life can still teach us about learning, character, success, and becoming just a little bit better every single day. This is part 9. I think it's chapter 10. How to build influence without seeking power. Most people think influence comes from having authority. Benjamin Franklin disagreed. Long before he became a diplomat, founding father, or one of the most famous Americans in history, Franklin had already become one of the most influential people in Philadelphia. Not because he, at this time, held office, not because he was wealthy, not because he consistently was doing something extraordinary. It's because he was consistently creating things that made other people's lives better. Today, in this chapter, shows us influence is earned, not demanded. By the time we reach chapter 10, Ben Franklin's printing business is thriving. His reputation is growing, and when it comes to opportunity that will, his name is becoming famous throughout the colonies. This is when he begins to publish the Poor Richard's Almanac. More than just a calendar, the Almanac becomes one of the most widely read publications in colonial America. Every year, readers eagerly await the newest edition. Written through the fictional voice of Poor Richard, Franklin filled its pages with practical advice, humor, memorable sayings, and timeless lessons about work, thrift, character, and common sense. His goal wasn't simply to entertain, it was to help ordinary people improve their lives. Franklin believed prosperity wasn't reserved for the fortunate few. With discipline, industry, and good habits, even those of modest means could build successful and meaningful lives. In many ways, Poor Richard's Almanac became one of America's first self-help or self-improvement books. Franklin applied those same principles while working in his newspaper. He deliberately refused to publish material that was libelous or scandalous or intended merely to stir the pot or stir controversy. He understood that sensational stories might increase short-term attention, but they would damage long-term trust. His newspaper's reputation mattered more than temporary profits. During this period, Franklin also experienced an important moment of reconciliation. Although he and his brother James had parted on difficult terms years earlier, the two restored their relationship before James passed away. After his brother's death, Franklin honored him by taking his nephew as an apprentice so he could continue the family's printing business in Boston. It was a quiet act of loyalty that speaks volumes about Franklin's character. Professionally, new opportunities continued to appear for him. Franklin became the clerk of the Pennsylvania Assembly, a position that naturally led to additional government printing contracts. Once again, his reputation for reliability, created opportunities that advertising never could. One of my favorite stories in this chapter involves his relationship with one of his political rivals. There was a member of the assembly who openly disliked Franklin. Instead of arguing with him, or, I don't know, trying to win him over through debate, Franklin tried something unexpected. Knowing the man possessed a rare book that Franklin was interested in, Franklin politely asked if he might just borrow the book. The request was granted. When Franklin returned the book with a sincere note of thanks, something had changed. The hostility between them softened. Eventually, they become friends. Franklin concluded with a fascinating observation. And he said, "He that has once done you a kindness will be more ready to do you another than he you yourself have obliged." In other words, people often become more invested in us after doing us a favor. It's a surprising insight into human nature and psychologists are still studying this today. Around the same time, Franklin also became Philadelphia's postmaster. The position allowed him to improve mail service, receive news more quickly, and strengthen his growing publishing business. He also reflected on another lesson for young entrepreneurs. Nothing builds a business and its reputation faster than paying your debts promptly. Suppliers remember those who keep their promises. Trust, Franklin observed, often becomes a company's greatest competitive advantage. Meanwhile, the Junto continued growing. Rather than allowing one club to become so large that meaningful discussion became impossible, Franklin proposed an elegant solution. Each member of his Junto would help start another chapter with a new group of thoughtful people. The groups would remain small, about 12 members or so, and ideas would continue to flow back to the original Junto that he was part of and started. Instead of building one large organization, Franklin built a network of communities devoted to learning and mutual improvement. It was an idea far ahead of its time. So here are a few of the lessons that I pulled from this chapter. Lesson one, create things that improve other people's lives. Poor Richard's Almanac wasn't simply a successful business. It was a service. Franklin asked himself, what can I create that helps ordinary people live better? When your work consistently improves the lives of others, influence naturally flows. Lesson two, protect your reputation at all costs. Franklin understood that every article his newspaper published either strengthened or weakened public trust. He refused to sacrifice long-term credibility for short-term attention. That lesson feels incredibly relevant today. Your reputation is built one decision at a time. Guard it carefully. Lesson number three. Relationships often begin with small acts. Franklin's story about borrowing a book is one of the most counterintuitive lessons in the autobiography. Instead of trying to impress an enemy, he asked for a small favor. The request created goodwill. Sometimes the shortest path to friendship isn't improving your value. It's allowing someone else the opportunity to be helpful. Lesson four, build communities, not just organizations, the expansion of the junto revealed another Franklin principle. Keep groups small enough for meaningful conversation. Empower others to lead. Multiply the mission rather than concentrating the attention. Great movements rarely grow because one person becomes bigger. They grow because many people begin leading. By the end of this chapter, Benjamin Franklin isn't simply running a successful printing business. He's shaping the culture of an entire city. He's published ideas that encourage virtue. He's strengthening friendships. He's mentoring the next generation. He's building civic organizations. He's improving public institutions. What's remarkable is that none of this happened because Franklin pursued fame. It happened because he's consistently pursuing usefulness. Perhaps that's the greatest lesson of all. The people who leave the deepest mark on the world are often the ones who spend the least time trying to make a mark, and most of the time trying to make a difference. So remember, the lessons are older than we are, and they are just as relevant today.